And I'm speaking about the church. I think if you brought a husband and a wife in together and said, what is the main thing? You'd get two different opinions, so we have a little problem about knowing what the main thing is in most families. But in the church, we should come together pretty much together and say, yeah, this is the main thing. And I want to talk about that this morning. I'd like for you to turn in the scriptures to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. And that we'll be reading. The scripture is here from the New International Version. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very ends of the age. This week I knew what I was going to preach, and I put it together in a format and had it planned. But I like to have illustrations because, quite frankly, Jesus used them. If you really want to understand something, you need an illustration so that people can understand exactly what you're talking about. So I wanted to get an illustration. And it was Saturday afternoon, and I still hadn't had any good illustration. And then I got a text from my sister. And the text had this on it. I want to share with you something. My sister, oldest sister, about three years ago, they got a farm. And they started getting animals. They started purchasing animals. And so first they purchased some goats, and then they got a donkey. Why in the world they wanted that donkey? He's knocked down everything in the yard. And then they got some chickens. And they really tried hard, you know, to keep those chickens alive and keep them going. As a matter of fact, they built them an absolutely gorgeous shed in the upper deck where the chickens go, and it's protected and it's heated in the winter, and in the summer it's cooled. She says she'd been out there late nights with those chickens, working with those chickens and trying to keep those chickens alive and healthy. And have you ever tried to give vitamins to a chicken? Don't do it. Anyway, you'll be chasing chickens for a while. But anyway, she worked very hard to get those chickens to the point that the chickens were ready to do what they were supposed to do. And she was all excited because they finally got their first egg from the chickens. Now, this is why. You know, I sat there when she first got the chickens and I said, I wonder if they got chickens because, you know, they're furry friends and they give you a sense of well-being. Or maybe it's for exercise to chase chickens all over the yard. Or maybe it's because their droppings are great fertilizer. Or maybe it's for the feathers. Maybe they bring them in when it really gets cold and use them like down in their bed to keep them warm. But no, it was for the eggs. I say that to say, I think so many times in the church we get it all confused about why we're even here. We get it all mixed up. We are here because God has called us to produce spiritual fruit. And this particular spiritual fruit is what makes us a church. The Great Commission basically is what we're given to follow. It's the church's call, it's the church's manifest. It's the church's main thing. It's the church's central goal. It's the product that the church machine should be producing. Disciples. Go ye therefore and make disciples. Some have said that
The therefore is to say above all things, but it is more than that. It is to say, when you said therefore go and make disciples, it means making disciples is it. Don't look for other things that you want the church to be. The church is here to make disciples. When you come together for a fellowship, it is to make disciples. When you come together for prayer, it is to make disciples. When you come together for a party, it is to make disciples. When you come together for worship, it's to make disciples. When you come together for music practice and music and worship, it is to make disciples. Everything we do, when you give financially, it is to make disciples. We are here to make disciples, period.
I know people go to church for 100 different other reasons. I feel better. It gives me a sense of well-being. I get the fuzzies when I come into church. I get to meet all my good friends there. We are here, and everyone that comes through the doors of our church, hopefully, will see that we are people who are here to make disciples. It's called intentional discipleship. It's what Christ called us to. All of our activities are pointed towards that. We are called to convert the lost to disciples. The term disciple means follower and servant of the living God through Christ Jesus our Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. A disciple is one who has turned away from the world and its sin, its obsessions, its lifestyle, its commitments, its pastime, and its past, and has turned on Christ as Savior, a desire to serve mankind in Christ's name, a desire to grow in Christ, a commitment to servanthood in the church, a seeker of the lost, and a transformed instrument of the world around him. I shared with you this morning, and I truly believe it, for those that might have come in a little bit late, I was at the store this morning, and a man was working so hard on his lottery tickets. And I think if he'd have had $3, he'd have busted loose. But he was putting in a lot of money in those lottery tickets. I'm sitting there going, son, I'm going to tell you where you hit the lottery. Go to church. Every Sunday morning, there's a lottery, and you're going to win. Because Jesus has already a plan for us. He has a plan of victory for you. He has a plan of conquering for you. He has a plan, and that plan is tied up, believe it or not, in discipleship. Now, I believe a person's loves, their passions have been changed from the world and the things of the world to the kingdom and its priorities. He loves the Lord, he loves the church, he loves the word, he loves the fellowship of Christians, he loves prayer, he loves giving financially to the church, he loves witnessing to his faith to others, he is ready to give wherever, go wherever God has called him and ready to do whatever God wants him to do. Put it this way, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed any longer to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because of this, we are called to discipleship. This is what the church must be about. Everything we do around here should ultimately be about making disciples, old and new. We begin by simple testimonies of our faith in Jesus Christ, our witness of Christ, and our love for God and his love for us, and then we continue to lead a person into a deeper and deeper walk and a commitment to Christ, and it's not easy. My wife got a call this morning. And it was from a lady who's about to drive her crazy. But she started the discipleship road with that person, and she's got to continue it. It's somebody that she has seen through a drug program. They graduated from the drug program and then found out that the young lady had a record, and she was arrested a second time and taken to another county, and there she had to serve. But while she was serving in that other county, she got back on drugs, and so she came back here. Now, my wife and I have traveled because this is her disciple. This is who she's working on. We have traveled to Lenoir, North Carolina. Most of you know that's not a simple drive. Just to give some clothes at Christmas and to try to help them through the time where she's originally from. And we have worked hard with her, and now she's graduating from her second tenure with drug rehabilitation. And she asked my wife to come this week, and also then she got my wife right at about 9 o'clock got a text, and she, "You need to come pick me up to go to church." And my wife's going, she was helping me with salad this morning, by the way, okay? That salad's not me. That salad is my wife. Thank goodness. But she wasn't ready to go, and the lady said, "You got to come pick me up." So my wife had to drop it, and then she cut her finger, and she was, and I said, "It's going to be okay." She said, "Well, you finish it." And I said, "Okay." So I finished the radishes. But anyway, it is a very, very big struggle to be a disciple and to disciple people. Because when people come from the outside world into a walk with Christ, it is so traumatic for most people that they don't know what they're doing. And they can become so upset, disturbed, or at a loss that they leave the church. It is our responsibility as Christians to disciple everyone that comes through the doors of this church, if they're here, they're not from Seattle, but we will disciple you as long as you're here. It's good to have you. But it is our responsibility to disciple them right on. When they stop coming to church, we need to go find them and talk with them. And the whole point is that it is not easy to disciple. It is not just bringing people to church and converting them. Does not say, "Go ye therefore and convert people. Go ye therefore and make church members." Doesn't say that. "Go ye therefore and get them into the church." No, it doesn't say that. "Go ye therefore and make disciples." Now, to do that, you must take on the responsibility of a discipler. And most of us don't want that. Let me go to church and I will give my money and so that somebody else can do my job. Everybody in the church, if you're a part of the Church of Jesus Christ, should be helping disciple people into the kingdom. And discipling means this: you are taking them from over here to over here. You're giving them a new... How many of you have ever had someone new that comes in from another country and you're trying to acquaint them with American lifestyle? We have quite a few Chinese students right now at my school. And they will ask where Chinese food is, and I know where it is. Some of them will ask, where do you have a Chinese grocery store here? Yeah, La Ming's right down here near the Target. Y'all know where that is, don't you? Anyway. There is a La Ming, if you have any Chinese, it's a grocery store, a Chinese grocery store. And I've actually got them, picked them up with Uber. I drive Uber some, and I take them to La Ming's. But I will ask them, "Have you ever been to Bojangles?" And they will look at me like I've got two horns coming out of my head, and they, "What is Bojangles?" You ought to try it sometime. It's pretty good. I got to where I can't eat there a lot because, you know, I gain weight when I eat there. But I think it would be good. And then I talk to my Chinese students
a lot about America, what America's like. One of the things that Chinese students do that is different is they do not do any extracurriculars at all whatsoever, zero. They are taught, you are here for one reason, and that's academics. Okay? I try to teach them different. You're in America now. As a matter of fact, when you get, when in your transcripts, whenever the transcripts are sent from your high school to a college, one of the things they're looking for is to see what community service and extracurricular activities you were a part of. And they look at me and go, what? What is community service? So we talk about that because it is also a requirement in our school that you have so many community service hours. And also that you actually have other activities. I remember there was a young man who came into our school, and he said, I was telling him about that, because he slept all through all my classes. And I'd look at him and I'd say, what are you doing sleeping through me? He says, I have to stay up all night studying. And I'd say, then you're going to sleep in my classes. What good is that? And he said, well, we're required to study all night. I said, whoa, who requires you to study all night? Well, our parents expect us to study all night. And I said, and he told me, in their Chinese schools, they leave school and then they go to another school. And then after that, they go to libraries and they stay there till almost midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. Then they have to get home, it's 2 or 3 in the morning, and then they get up at 6. And I'm going, how do you live that lifestyle? We don't do that here. Let me tell you what we do. Some of us play basketball. Some of us are in the art department, which is my field. Some of us like to be in theater. And you, it's good for you. You need different things, and they're going to look at that on your transcripts. Now, I want you to understand this. Whenever you take somebody who's not a Christian and you begin to disciple them, you're doing the same thing. You're getting them to the point they're starting to produce spiritual eggs. You're not just trying to get them in church and get them regular in church. I know a lot of people who are regular who've got cancer. Regular physically. We are to take people that are converts and we are to say, now I want to walk with you this new lifestyle. By the way, some of you will have those who come from backgrounds that are totally opposite from your background, and you're going to have to walk them through to the other side. Some of you, God is going to give you somebody who they do have done things or they're a part of a lifestyle that makes you repulsed. You just get there and go, disgusting. How can they live like that? But he's calling us to love people and to minister to people and to disciple them out of those lifestyles into the lifestyle of Christ Jesus our Lord. It's rough. It's tough. But this is what the church is all about. This is what we're called to do. Some of us might say, well, where do we begin? Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the other uttermost parts of the earth. Now, what is that saying? Well, you notice the progression there. Where they were was Jerusalem. Judea is their region. Samaria is the next over country. And then so on and so forth. We are called to minister where we are. We are called to disciple where we are. We are called to disciple those around us. We are called to disciple people in our family. Obviously, if you're a parent, your whole parenting is discipling. And then you're called to disciple people in your community and then all over the world. I've had people say, well, I don't go all over the world. You don't have to in this area we live in here. Last I checked, by the way, there's going to be 5,000 new people moving into this area. I don't know if you know that. With the apartments going in back here, the apartments near your house, Dixie's house over there,
They've got several thousand moving in there. There's going to be several thousand over here. We're talking about 5,000 new people in this area. Many of them are going to be from all over the world. So the world's coming to us. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. And all the nations are coming to us. Not every place in North Carolina has that opportunity, but we do. And we're going to have to walk them through where we are. First place it begins is baptism. And let me say this. I've had people say, I can be a Christian outside of church. I don't know. I can't. I don't know how you do that. How do you do that? I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Excuse me? I certainly couldn't do that. I don't know how anybody can do that. And I've been walking with the Lord for a long time, but I must be with the body of Christ. Now, first thing it says is, go ye therefore and make disciples. And it says, baptizing them. Now, how do you baptize them? You bring them where the body is and the body baptizes them. The body of Christ, those ordained in the ministry, baptize. Your children accept Christ, you don't go dunk them in the bathtub. You bring them to church and you lead them in the process of discipleship, which is baptism first, the ordinance of the church. By the way, who gave us the ordinances of the church? Christ. It's written in the Word, and those are carried out by the church. So I want you to understand that Christ has a plan, and his plan is that we bring them into the church and we lead them in the ordinances of the church. They learn the every time we do the Lord's Supper, I think we learn. Every time we do it, we learn a little bit more about the blood of Jesus and the gift of Christ Jesus in his sacrifice for men. So I would encourage you as disciplers to not only reach people for Jesus, but also to bring them into the body of Christ, that the whole body might disciple them as well. This is our call. This is what we're about. And if we stop discipling, this is what happens. Cults begin. Spiritual cults. There's a special coming on the television about the one in Texas that the FBI went in and they had blew up in flames and all of them died. But anyway, that was a cult, a Christian cult. And I want you to know cults come out of that, but also there are those, if we don't disciple people, they begin to learn unusual views that are mixed with the world's views and their own views and other people's views that they've talked to on the internet, and they come up with some kind of Christianity that has no power, that has no strength to it, has no truth to it. And they're satisfied with it, but it is a very weak and milquetoast type of walk, and it's far from God. We need to disciple because Christians need to be in the church following the commands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is his plan. This is not my plan. This is not a bigoted plan from a group of people in the Middle Ages. This is God's plan, and he's had it for thousands of years, and he will continue it. I want to encourage you to be disciplers. I want to encourage you as we as a church, and we're going to have revision in a few moments. For those who might have come in a little late, we're having a luncheon, pizza and salad. Got a lot of salad as well as a lot of pizza. And we encourage you, we got more than enough for everybody here. And we encourage you to stay with us and just eat and listen and you know, just share. We're all just going to talk about, from our own hearts, our body here, our people here, our church here. And then see what God does with that. And I encourage you to be with us. But the revision is led by God. And in the revision, one of the things we're going to be talking about is discipleship. How do we better become disciples and disciplers of Christ here at Cedar Fork Baptist Church? We want to join together in prayer. And then we're going to have our invitation hymn. If you would, bow with me. Father,
We don't even understand what discipling is, other than you've given it to us in your word, and we're trying to grab hold of it. I pray that you would open up and give vision to it, that we might be able to reach people. We might be able to minister to people, that we might be able to draw them out by your leadership and your Holy Spirit, draw them out of some tough situations and some lifestyles that just are tearing them apart, and to love them into the kingdom, into that place you want them to be, walking the way you want them to walk. Help us not to give up on them, nor to get discouraged with them, but to stand with them and to walk with them. And Lord, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for what you're doing and what you're going to do in this body this day. And it's in the name of Jesus that we thank you. Amen.